Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for that great work of salvation, the great work of redemption that you've done. We give you all the praise. We exalt you, Lord. Our hearts are full of gratitude, and with gratitude, we've come to say thank you. As we go into the word this evening, we declare and decree that our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word this evening. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. Gray areas are become clearer, dark areas become clearer. And we declare and decree this evening that we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, so we'll just continue in the line in which we started a few months ago, investigating scriptures. We are particularly in Investigating Scriptures Series 3B. We are just trying to get our hands around proper doctrinal explanations to what we call the Holy Communion table. And we've had a series of tracks in time past, and we trust that we are gaining clarity as the days come by or as the days go by. You know, so if you're with the Bibles, I want you to turn with me. I believe you should be with your Bible. Matthew's Gospel 26, where we always start from. Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, verse 26. Yeah, Matthew's Gospel 26:26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, this is my body.'" What were they doing? They were eating. What did Jesus do? He took from what they were eating. What were they eating? They were eating bread. So he took bread from what they were eating, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it back to the disciples. So he gave back what he had taken already to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." What kind of bread were they eating? It will backtrack to verse 17. "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came." So Feast of Unleavened Bread. So during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it's expected that you are eating unleavened bread. Festival of Unleavened Bread. So it's expected you're eating unleavened bread. So he took bread from that table, back to 26. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body. This is my body. This is my body. This is my body.'" Yeah, verse 27, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So we're just going to place some emphasis on a couple of these things today. Hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah, so if you look at it carefully, we established also that Jesus could not have done, there was no transfusion done with Jesus' physical blood. Yeah, there was no syringe in that meeting that was used to take his blood to pour into a cup. You know, there was nothing like that in that meeting. So clearly, what was in the cup was not his blood. What was in the cup? Look at verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the wine." So vine, rather. What was in the cup? Fruit of the vine was in the cup. What did he call the fruit of the vine? He called it, "This is my blood." When he took the cup, when he took the bread, what did he call it? He said, "This is my body." You know, so look at me. If you turn to Matthew's Gospel 28, the next two chapters, 28 verse 18, Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.'" Now, this was upon resurrection. This was after Jesus had been killed and he resurrected. Look at Matthew 28. Look at verse 1. Matthew 28 verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Look at verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. So they came to look for Jesus who was crucified. Yeah. So look at verse 6. He is not here, he is risen. Verse 7. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. So the first group of people that preached the gospel were actually women. Yeah, the first group of people that preached the gospel, what is the gospel? He is alive. He is alive for what? And by being alive, the saint and man that believes has forgiveness of sins. So the first group of people to announce that he is alive, he is risen, were women. Yeah, that alone is loud in itself. So this was after resurrection. And now, after all the conversation had happened, see what happened in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is the power for? Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, he didn't say all power is given unto me. Yeah, be sharing bread and wine in remembrance of me. No. In remembrance of me, what did he ask you to do? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son. What is the name of the Son? It means the reputation, his work. Yeah, what does it mean to baptize them? It doesn't mean dip people into water. We have a handful series on that. Yeah, so a couple of hours explaining baptizing. So when it says baptizing them in the name of the Son, what does it mean? It means indoctrinating them into the work of the Son. So how do you baptize people? You baptize people by preaching the gospel to them, and when they believe, they are baptized. In fact, now lays emphasis again as what baptism in that context means. Verse 20, teaching them, yeah, so a good way to read verse 20 will be baptizing them, that is, which is to teach them to observe the things I have commanded you. I know there's this assurance that comes there, and lo, I am with you always. So what are you to do now? Now that he is with you always, what are you to do continuously? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all. So we see that after resurrection, inasmuch as Jesus said, I will not drink of this wine or this fruit of the vine until it is fulfilled in my Father's kingdom, we see that upon resurrection, Jesus did not give them cup again to be sharing. Why? Because what was done as a practice was now fulfilled in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Yeah, look at Mark, Mark 16, verse 15. So what it says, and he said unto them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 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 When he resurrected, what was the instruction? Preach the gospel. He didn't go back to what happened on the table. Because we've come to establish what was happening on the table was a teaching meeting. So from this, we are to keep teaching. By doing that, we are bringing to the hearts and minds of people who are saved already a remembrance of that work. Yeah, and also bringing to the knowledge of those who have never heard of it or who are not saved the ability or the saving power in that work. Yeah, look at 1 Peter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Look at 1 Peter 2, 21. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 21. It says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow. Yeah, so did Christ suffer? Yes, for us. What was his suffering actually doing? His suffering was indirectly leaving for us an example that we should follow. His steps. Hallelujah. So Christ has left for us an example that we should follow. What is the example? A sacrificial giving of himself. In that example, the saint is to know that he has found a pattern that he has to follow. So the saint is to know that he is to give himself sacrificially, just the way Christ has given himself sacrificially to all, to give himself to mankind. To give himself to mankind. Yeah, he's living for us an example. That word, the example, is similar to that word we looked at as pattern. Remember that word, hypodiegma? Yeah, this word is hypo, I think hypogrammos, something like that. This one has to do with a documented writings of someone's example left behind. Yeah, why the hypodigma had to do with we explained that in our previous teaching. So we see that Christ has left for us an example. What is that example? What is that example loud on? It is loud on his sacrificial giving to mankind. Yeah, so we'll meet John 3:16. Look at John 3:16. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Glory to God. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, what are you to believe in? You are to believe in the sacrificial giving and the resurrection for sins. Yeah, so look at, remember, we established in months and years back that "for God so loved the world" doesn't mean, he's not talking about the quantity, in as much as that is good. But a good way to read verse 16 will be, "For God in such a manner loved the world, in that he gave his begotten Son." For God so loved the world. How do we know he loved? In the fact that he gave. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on that work should not perish but have everlasting. You know, shall, will not perish. Shall not perish, will not perish, but have everlasting life. So a man who has believed the gospel has passed from death to life. He now has everlasting life. Look at that same chapter 3, verse 36. Look at John 3, 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. That same chapter. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's just confirming verse 16. "And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What is the wrath of God? A figure of speech for a recompensation, or the recompensation that a man gets for his decision. Wrath of God is a figure of speech. It is a figure of speech given to what a man, that is the recompensation a man gets for his decision. Yeah. So he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life. So we have been delivered from wrath. Yeah, we have now been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We now have life. Look at verse 16. "For God so loved the world," for God in such a manner loved the world, "in that he gave his only begotten Son," yeah, "that whosoever believeth on that work, on the resurrection, shall not perish but have everlasting life." So if you want to infuse 2 Peter into this, a good way to read that would be, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," yeah, "leaving for us an example that we should follow his steps." Hallelujah. Yeah, so what I just did was I infused 1 Peter 2:21 into John 3:16. Let me do that again. "For God so loved," for God in such a manner loved the world, the world, not love the Christians. Yeah, God doesn't love Christians more than unbelievers. Yeah, the difference between a Christian and an unbeliever is that a Christian is one who has received of God's love. But the love that God gave, the love that God has, is for every creature, the whole of mankind. Yeah, some receive, some accept, some believe, some reject, some disobey, some obey. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son," that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Christ suffering, leaving for us an example that we should follow, "that whosoever believes on him and his work shall not perish but have everlasting life." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see that there is this great work that Christ has done. That is the work of redemption. That great work of redemption once for all. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we see that there was a particular purpose that Jesus had on earth. Yeah, to redeem man, to close that or divide that world of perdition. Yeah, to split the sea so that we could walk right through it. Yeah, you know that song. You split the sea so we could walk right through it. Yeah, you split the sea so that we could walk right through it. It's not, when you sing it, you didn't walk through a sea physically. Yeah, so in fact, if you are going to sing that song, you are going to sing that song with the revelation of the fact that Christ has now brought you to the Father. Yeah, he has brought you to the Father by the work of redemption. Yeah, you didn't pass through the sea. The fathers of the Israelites were the ones that walked through the sea. Yeah, what is walking through the sea? That is figurative for the fact that the saint is delivered from bondage and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. Yeah, you say, so you split the sea so I can walk right through it. A good way to sing that would be, you split that sea, now I have walked right through it. Yeah, so the saint has been translated. Yeah, that thing that looked like an impossible obstacle preventing one from getting to the other side has been dealt with by the work of resurrection. Yeah, we've come to the Father through Jesus the Son. We give him the glory, great things he has done. We have come to the Father. All come to the Father would be for those that are not saved. Yet the saint is one who has come to the Father. So we have come to the Father through Jesus the Son. This is a great thing he has done. Hallelujah. Yeah, so now it says, "For God so loved the world, leaving for us an example." So, in giving thanks for the sacrificial work of Christ, we should also remember and bring to the fore of our knowledge that that in itself is an example for us to follow. Look at Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22, verse 20.
Luke's Gospel 22, verse 20. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 20. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 20. And he says, likewise also the cup after supper, he took it saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, you know, which is shed for you. Dear saint, what was in the cup? Fruit of the vine. What did they call it? The New Testament in my blood. Yeah, the New Testament in my blood. Look at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper saying, this cup is that new, the cup of this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. You see, I want to pay a little attention to that word shed. Yeah, that word shed there, you know, I mean, literally speaking, it means to be poured out. Yeah, to be poured out. Yeah, to be poured out. Now, the truth now remains very vital. If you can be observant enough, in our previous teachings, we've come to explain that the blood that washed away your sins wasn't the physical blood that came out from his body, but the blood that washed away your sins is a statement used as figurative for the spirit that is given. Let me say it this way. What took away your sins wasn't the blood of the hemoglobin, whatever blood group, whatever that was in Jesus' flesh. What is forgiveness of sins? Forgiveness of sins is in the fact that we now have a spirit. When you say the blood of Jesus, that is figurative for the spirit of Jesus. We'll look at that, you know, maybe in this teaching or in our next teaching. Yeah, but for now, look at it carefully. Verse 20 of Luke 22. Likewise also the cup he took it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Literally speaking, the word there shed there means to be poured out. Now, what did he pour out to give? Yeah, what did he pour out to give? He actually poured out to give the spirit. Yeah, what did you receive? What made you clean? What made you cleanse? What cleansed you? What gave you salvation? What gave you redemption? Was it the physical blood that was shed? No. It was the spirit that was given. So when you see the blood is actually figurative for his resurrection. So the blood is figurative for, so when you think about the blood of Jesus is about the spirit, the life of Jesus. Yeah, the blood of Jesus is figurative for the spirit of Jesus. That's why it's very interesting to see that we convert anointing oil in Goya bottle to be the blood of Jesus. That can't be the life of God. That can't be the spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So when you see the blood, always think of the spirit. When you see the blood, always think of the spirit. When you see the blood, always think of the spirit. When you see the blood, say it again. When you see the blood, always think of the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, quickly turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11 quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. You know, what justified us is the spirit. What justified us is the spirit. What sanctified us is a spirit. What made us holy is a spirit. What gave us life? How did you receive life? By believing the work of the spirit. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. It says, as such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by that is, but that is. So look at it this way. Look at it this way. Such were some of you. What were the such that were some of you? Thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, etc. Yeah, such were some of you, but ye are now washed, ye are now sanctified, ye are now justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. What is the name of the Lord Jesus? It is his reputation. That is by the Spirit of our God. That is by the Spirit of our God. So what sanctified you? It was the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So, back to Luke 22. Go back to Luke 22. Yeah, look at Luke 22:20. It says, and he shed his blood. Yeah, so this is the blood of my New Testament, which is shed for you. So we established that literally that word there, shed, will be to pour out. But really, in the original use, that word actually was more often than not used as a figurative expression. Yeah, was used as a now remember, what did he give upon resurrection? What did Christ give? He gave a spirit. Upon resurrection, what did Christ give? He gave his spirit. Yeah, upon resurrection, what did Christ give? He gave his spirit. So remember Romans chapter 8. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, yeah, those that are translated, that are being brought forth by the Spirit of God. What created the saints is the Spirit of God. Yeah, so the Spirit of God created the saints to indwell the saints. Yeah, so that's what you call the new creation. So by the work of redemption, upon the giving of the Spirit, that is upon resurrection, there is something called the new creation. Yeah, that's the demonstration of God's power towards mankind. So when you want to look for God's power, what do you look for? You look for the new creation. You look for that which is brought forth, or that which has been brought forth, or that whom, or that person who has been brought forth by the resurrection. Hallelujah. So remember, we established in our previous teachings that what Jesus was doing on that table was he was having a teaching meeting. Yeah, who was Jesus? A rabbi. Who is a rabbi? One who teaches. When a rabbi teaches, what do? You pay attention to his words. So what was Jesus doing in that room? He was teaching. What was he using to teach? He was using those symbolic things that were already established from the book of Exodus to explain the reality. Remember, we said something. Yeah. So when you read Luke 22 verse 20, when he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. When you look at verse 18, this is my body. What is he really saying? I am the way. I am the truth. That is the reality. I am life. So John 14:6 now tells us, says Jesus answered and said unto Thomas, he said, I am the way, that is the reality. Yeah, so when you say I'm the way, the truth, and the life, yeah, I am the way, that is the reality, that is life. Hallelujah. Yeah, when you say the truth shall set you free. Yeah, you see, look at it. When it is wise to read Bible context in context, or Bible text in context. Yeah, for ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not saying that if you steal meat and you say the truth about it, you'll be set free. No, you and I know that there are so many people today that they are in prisons because they said the truth. Hallelujah. Yeah, so when you say the truth shall set you free, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is he speaking about? You shall know the reality. What is the reality? The reality is our Lord and Savior. I am the way, that is the truth, that is life. I am the reality. I am the truth. Yeah, so when you say ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, what is that speaking about? Yeah, you shall know Jesus and you shall be set free. What is setting free there? Ye who were once in the bondage of sin and death. Yeah, those of us who were still in the bondage of fear, we have now been redeemed. Yeah, he dealt with death. Hebrews 2 verse 14. He himself was a partaker of flesh and blood. Yeah, who now destroyed him, who had the power over death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. So you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. What does that mean? You shall know Jesus, and Jesus, in knowing Jesus, that is in believing in the work of Jesus, you have freedom from bondage. You've been delivered from Egypt into the promised land. What land is that? The land which is God's city. Yeah, God's habitation. Glory to God. In my Father's household are many mansions. You become a partaker of God's great nation. Yeah, you know, there is nothing unique about Israel, like we've established over time. There's nothing unique. It's really a waste of time when we love people begin to do things like, it's good as a generous act to give seed to the country named Israel, but it doesn't have any spiritual implication. The difference between you and the one on the street is because you've received to become a part of the unique nation of God. Hallelujah. So when you see verse 19, Luke 22 verse 19, this is my blood which is given for you. What is he saying? I am the reality. What was he calling his blood? He was calling the fruit of the vine his blood. So when you see shed, when you see verse 20, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. That word there, shed, will actually be used metaphorically. Yeah, it will not really be literal. Why? Because what was being spoken about will not come to your mind as literal in reference to being poured out. But what's he saying? You know, a better word for that word share there means to bestow or to distribute largely, to distribute on a very large scale. What did God distribute on a very large scale? He distributed his spirit. Hallelujah. Remember, I owe us a teaching on what happened in 3 days. What did Jesus do with his blood within 3 days? What was happening within those 3 days? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So if you look at verse 18 of Luke 22 again, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine. What was in the cup? fruit of the vine. Look at verse 17. And he took the cup. What was in the cup? Verse 18, fruit of the vine. And he took the cup, verse 17, and gave thanks and said, take this and they might divide it amongst yourself. What does it mean to divide amongst yourself? Yeah, it's what we're investigating. I will not drink, verse 18, of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Yeah, when you read Matthew's gospel, what does it say? Until it be fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. So it means that there is this work. It means that there is this great work. It means there is this work that was to be fulfilled upon resurrection. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? Desire to be a partaker of his resurrection. What is kingdom of God? It is figurative for the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. You see, that great work of salvation that Christ did, Jesus spoke, David spoke about it figuratively as an utterance. Look at Psalms 22. Look at Psalms 22. You know, the book of Psalms is the book of prophets speaking about the work of Christ. Yeah, for the saint to find himself in the book of Psalms, he needs to look for Christ first. Yeah, because the saint knows himself in the work of Christ. The saint knows himself by the work of Christ. The saint knows himself by the work of Christ. That work, that resurrection. So when you go to Psalm 22 and you see some things being said, in as much as you want to personalize it, you must find them on the bearing of that work of Christ, that great work of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 22. David and the priest. You see, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24, they are books that speak about the redemption that our Christ, our Savior, offers. Yeah? So when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Yeah? We are to find ourselves in the work of Christ. Look at Psalm 22. Look at Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, for those of us that grew up in Sunday school, we know that in our children and Sunday school and children class, we're taught that we know the person who made that statement. Who made that statement? I know in your mind you know already, Jesus Christ. Ella, Ella, Lama, Sabachthani, it's in the Bible. Yeah, the four gospels record that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, you see something? When Christ was being crucified, people could not go close to him to hear the words he was uttering. But the truth is that Christ, during that crucifixion, was uttering words. How does the saint know the exact words that Christ was uttering? We see them by prophecies from the mouth of David in Psalm 22. Hallelujah, glory to God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Yeah, so it means that in as much as what you could quote from Jesus' saying was, my God, why have you forsaken me? There were more things he was saying. In fact, for our time, you can read verse 22, but for our time, let's pay attention to a few more verses. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. You remember, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Yeah, verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration. They are profitable for teaching. Yeah, they're profitable for teaching. Yeah, we've explained that over and over. Scriptures are to make us wise unto salvation. The wisdom of scriptures is salvation. The wisdom that scripture gives is salvation. Luke 24:24. And certain of them found it as even as so as the woman had said, and he saw them and said, oh fool, slow of heart to believe. Verse 27. Then beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Luke 24, verse 44 to 47. Yeah, I am here to fulfill, yeah, fulfilling the things which Moses in the law, the psalm, and the prophet had spoken. So the prophet and psalm inclusive. Yeah, so okay, in fact, hold your thoughts in Psalm 22. Go to Luke 22. Go to Luke 24 quickly. Run with me to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke 24, verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That is the word he said before he was killed. Yeah, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So did the book of Psalms, does it speak about Christ? Yes. So go back to Psalm 22. So when you read Psalms, who should you have in mind? Be thinking about Christ. Yeah, this is the Lord doing his marvelous in our sight. Who is that speaking about? Christ. Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. Who is that speaking about? Christ. So look at Psalm 22, verse 10, verse 12. Psalm 22, verse 12. He says, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset round. Look at verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. who poured out his blood like water, our Lord and Savior. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. There was no time that David had this activities or these afflictions to in his personal body. There was no time David went through these things. There was no time David's bones were out of his joints. No. David was a king. Before he was a king, he didn't have a very rough life. A shepherd boy. Hallelujah. So when you see David saying, I am poured out, in as much as you say, I am poured out, that's a figure of speech. That is an utterance being spoken about Christ. So Christ was the one saying, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. There was no point in history or point in time that David's bones were out of joint. There was no point in David's life that his blood was poured out like water. So I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Look at verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. Yet David didn't experience this. So David, as a prophet, spoke by utterance concerning the things that Jesus was going to say and do. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Look at verse 16 carefully. For the dogs have compassed me. That's figurative expression. Who dogs are dogs? The word, he's not saying the physical dogs. Yeah. What are dogs? The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. So what he called dogs, he now calls it assembly of the wicked. They've enclosed me. Look at what he says. They pierced my hands and my feet. There was no time in David's life that his hands and his feet were pierced. Whose hand was pierced for your sins? It was Christ Jesus. So, when you read the book of Psalms, who do you think about? You think about Christ. Yeah, they pierced my hands and my feet. Where did they nail Jesus? On his feet. Where did they nail him? On his hands. So, they pierced his hands. So, in as much as David said, they pierced my hands and my feet. That was figurative in form of an utterance concerning what Jesus was going to do and go through. Look at verse 17. And they tell all my bones, they look and stay upon me. Verse 18. They part my garment amongst themselves. When Jesus died, when Jesus was going through crucifixion, when his clothes was taken from him, and they were fighting to share his clothes amongst themselves. That was in David. So they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. O my strength has thee to help. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus, in as much as he was 100% God and 100% man, he still made clear and made bold some declarations. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So look at Psalm 22 verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Yeah, so we just went there to establish and just to see that David, as a prophet, spoke about the redemptive work. Yeah, so go back to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also, the cup after supper, he took it, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You know, so after prophetically speaking about the work, we're coming to explain, you know, or to have a proper grasp on what Jesus was particularly doing in that meeting, in that teaching meeting. Go to Matthew 26. Let's see Matthew's gospel. Matthew 26, verse 28. Look at Matthew 26, verse 28. Say, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Yeah, so why was his blood shed? Why was his blood distributed largely? He was done for all for the remission of sins. Full stop. Yeah, to take away sins, to give mankind forgiveness of sins. Yeah, look at verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Luke tells us, until it be fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. So, what is the kingdom of God? Figurative expression for the resurrection. He didn't say we should be sharing cup. He didn't say I will not share cup. No. He says I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yeah, when you look at Mark, It says, until it be fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. Mark, Luke. So, what is the kingdom of God? About resurrection. What do you think he was teaching about? Jesus Christ was teaching about fellowship among saints. Yeah, that is fellowship among saints. So, look at it. Why did he say take and look at it? Okay. Look at verse 27. So it says in verse 27, and he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. When you look at Luke's narrative, what did he say? Divide this amongst yourself. So it would mean that they were to divide what was in that cup, that is fruit of the vine, amongst themselves. What was he trying to teach? He was trying to teach fellowship. So what was he trying to teach? I will be the one that would initiate you all to be one nation with the Father. Let me say it this way. So imagine me sitting in front of 12 of you, right? And I'm giving you a cup. And I'm telling you that from this cup, I am the originator of this cup. Why? What did he call what was in the cup? He said the blood. So he's saying that this blood, as a result of this blood, it would be that you will be a partaker of what I am originating. Yeah, he shed his blood, that is to give largely. So the same way that blood, that fruit of the vine was in the cup, which he called his blood, is the way he was going to give himself to all, that anyone that partakes of that cup, now that will be his blood this time. Look at it again. Ideally, they were to partake of what was in that cup when he gave to them. What he was teaching in himself was that anyone that partakes of the blood, what did he call what was in the cup? He called it the blood. What was in the cup? Fruit of the vine. The same way they were to share that fruit of the vine, yeah, and be a partaker of one, yeah, to teach about unity and togetherness and teach about fellowship, was the same way his blood will be given out for all, and anyone that partakes of his blood. What is his blood? His blood is his spirit. Anyone that partakes of his blood, that is partakes of his spirit, will become one and become a nation together with him. So, in partaking of that blood, you are now God's people. You are now a new creation. You are now a new people. You are now accepted. You are a new man. You are God's new creation. Hallelujah. What was he teaching? He was really teaching about the oneness and the fellowship we have as saints. Yeah, by the blood he has given, which is the spirit, we have been indoctrinated into his Father's family. We are now one with God. Glory to God. We are now one with God. There is no disparity between who we are and who God is. He has made us one in the work of his Son. Glory to God. He has made us just to be a member of his family. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. In my Father's household, rather, are many dwelling places. In my Father's household are many people God wants to dwell in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in partaking of the blood, which is what he has shed for us, which is the spirit he has given, we are now a citizen of God's nation. Look at Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship. How do we come? Now, look at it carefully. He didn't say we are his workman. No. In as much as we are his workman in reference to ministry, what Paul was teaching here is particularly about the work of the workman. Or let me say it this way. The workmanship of the workman. Let me say it this way. The work of the workman. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How are you now? How are we his workmanship? By being a partaker of this is my blood that is shed for many. So in partaking of that blood, that is the spirit, how do you be a partaker? How is a man a partaker of the spirit? By believing in the redemptive work. So, by believing in the redemptive work, we are now his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Look at verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This commonwealth of Israel now will not be the Israel that you see on your geography map. No, to be God's commonwealth of Israel. Yeah, we were strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ,
Ye who were sometimes far off, we are now made near by the blood of Christ. This is my blood, yeah, for many, for the remission of sins. What is forgiveness of sins? It is the indwelling of the Spirit. Glory to God. Look at verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we are fellow citizens with the saints, that is of the household of God. Are we together? Glory to God. Are we together? So when you go back to Matthew's gospel, go back to Matthew 26. Go back to Matthew 26. Verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body, take and eat." He did the same for the cup. What was he teaching? This is my body that will make you to be fellow citizens with the household of God. What did I do? I infused Ephesians 2 into Matthew 26. This is my body. Look, see it again. Look at verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. What is New Testament? New covenant. What is New covenant? The new creation. How does the new creation get formed? By receiving and being a partaker of God's blood. How do you be a partaker of God's blood? By being a believer in the work of the Spirit. So, a man who has believed resurrection has been given the Spirit of God. He is now indwelt of the Spirit permanently, forever. The Spirit of God can never leave one who has been a partaker or who is a partaker of the Spirit of God. So what was Jesus teaching with it? This is my body. He was teaching about fellowship that the saints would have with him. Fellowship that saints, the household of God, would have with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he was teaching about one nation. A nation. God's people. God's people. You'll be accepted. You are now a new creation. You are now a new man, God's new man. Now, you do want to take note that Jesus began to use that avenue of that feast to teach about himself. He started pointing and explaining himself from the things they had been doing for over 4,000 years. He began to explain himself as the reality. He began to explain himself as the reality of the things. The reality of the things that Moses from Exodus had already established. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. You know this upon resurrection. Luke 24. Luke 24, 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Who includes the prophet? The psalmist. You have the psalmist. You have David. You have Isaiah. You have Ezekiel. You have Moses, and so on. What was the summary of what they were saying? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that you now see and enter into his glory? What is entering into his glory? What is suffering these things? It is, this is my body. I am giving it for you. Look at what now happened in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it would mean that he went to... Now, can you see? The use of bread and wine was something he expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. What was he doing? This bread that you have been eating from Exodus, that your father, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfathers have been eating from Exodus. This is me in front of you. They point to me. I am the reality of those traditional acts. Hallelujah. I am the reality of those acts. I am the full expression, the explanation to those symbols. So when you look at verse 27, yeah, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he took unleavened bread and said, this is my body. A good way to say that would be, he took unleavened bread and said, this unleavened bread is typical or symbolic of my body, or symbolizes my body. When he took the fruit of the vine, what was he teaching? He was trying to tell them that this fruit of the vine is symbolic to my blood. Now I'm giving you, take. The same way I'm giving you this fruit of the vine to take is the same way I'm giving you my blood upon resurrection. Take it. Take it. Take it. So he explained unto them, yeah, verse 44 tells us, he explained unto them the things that Moses said must be fulfilled, the things that Psalm said must be fulfilled, the things that the prophet said must be fulfilled. So all the elements of the Passover, they are now in a person. Glory to God. I'll say that again. All elements involved in the Passover, they are now in a person. All elements have always pointed to a person. Look at the 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 7. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. So what it says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unliving, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So all the elements of unliving bread, all the elements of bread without yeast, all the elements of fruit of the vine, all the elements of Passover lamb, they were pointing to Jesus Christ, our Savior. What does Paul now tell the church in Corinth? For Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So the Passover pointed to Christ. Yeah? Now, Jesus did not, upon resurrection, Jesus, even before resurrection, Jesus didn't say that the flesh represents him. Yeah? There's a difference between something representing him and something pointing to you. So, Jesus Christ is now our Passover. So, our Passover is now a person. The children of Israel, their Passover was a lamb, an animal. Our Passover right now is a person. It wasn't a lamb that was sacrificed for your sins, but a person who happens to be God, the creator of the universe, was the one who gave himself for all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. So the Passover as an activity that happened in Exodus, which continually became a festival, they all pointed to Christ. Not saying they represent him today. No, no, no. Bread doesn't represent Christ. Yeah? So it's actually not wise to go for a meeting of saints and pick bread and say, this is the body. No, no, no. You have no right to call bread his body. It is only the person who bread points to him that has the right to say, this is my body. Not calling bread his body, but I'm making sure that you put your attention to the things he was saying, the things he had to say. Hallelujah. So, one of the things Jesus was explaining was the Paschal lamb. You see, go back to Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 45. Look at Luke 24 verse 45. It says, and then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. How were they to understand the scriptures? They were to understand the scriptures how? By his explanation. So, how did you open the understanding? By using explanations from where? Look at verse 44. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So, one of the things Jesus was explaining was Paschal lamb points to me. What is Paschal lamb? Paschal lamb is a lamb that is used for sacrifice. It points to me. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. What was done on the blood post? It points to me. I am the one who will give myself, in that my blood, when it is seen, my blood, when it is believed, when it is received, delivers from bondage, delivers from wrath, and translates to the kingdom of his dear son, and gives one who believes in it eternal life. The things concerning himself, he opened their understanding for the first time, and they were able to understand the scripture. So they were able to synchronize. So they drew a straight line from Genesis to Malachi. That straight line is Christ Jesus. Jesus is the line that connects the book of Genesis to Malachi. Jesus is that straight parallel line that connects the book of Genesis to Malachi. I mean, practically, it's Revelations. Yeah, but I'm trying to talk about the Old Testament scriptures as spoken about in Luke 24. So, you can put all the books of the Bible on a straight line and draw a straight line, and there will be a connecting dot to all of them. Who is that? Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world. So, if you look at it, remember in our previous teaching, we established the same way non-Jews did not partake of it. The same way non-Jews didn't partake of it. So now, since it is in the spiritual form, the unbelievers do not partake of it. Partake of what? Partake of fellowship. Are we together? If you remember very well, you will see from Exodus that they were to eat it as a household. Yeah, in my Father's household are many dwelling places. We are now come together by that work of the Son, and we are now one, yes, in God's kingdom. There's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither female, there's neither male in Christ. What does that mean? We don't recognize the saint based on his gender. We don't recognize the saint based on his or her ethnicity. Now it is a spiritual form. Unbelievers are not in fellowship with the brothers. So a Christian and a Muslim are not brothers. Yeah? Yeah. In as much as we say it, you know, casually as we relate to our people, a Christian and a Muslim are not brothers. A Christian and a Muslim are not brothers. So a Christian may be a brother to a Muslim in the physical flesh, but a Christian is not a brother to the one who is a Muslim. Why? Because what makes brotherhood is what gave birth to man, or what gave birth to you. The reason why you are my sister and you are my brother is because what gave birth to us is from the same womb. We were born from the same womb. For as many of us brothers brought forth by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. So, you are my brother, you are my sister. Why? Because we have been brought forth by the work of redemption. We are now brothers. We are now in fellowship. The unbeliever is not a partaker of that fellowship. Even though the hand of fellowship might have been extended to him. How? By the preaching of the gospel. So, how do we extend the hand of fellowship for the unbelievers to be a partaker of this spiritual thing? It's by preaching the gospel, in that when they believe, they become a partaker of God's nation. They are now a partaker of God's blood, that is the giving of His Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll go over that again. The unbeliever does not partake of the fellowship that has been instigated and initiated by the resurrection. The fellowship that has been instigated by the resurrection only creates family members by preaching the gospel and believing. Let me say it this way. The gospel is what is to be preached, in that when a man believes, he becomes a partaker of the fellowship that Christ initiated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, a believer, the same way a man who was not a Jew did not partake of the Passover feast, is the same way a man who is not a Christian does not partake of the fellowship. So, look at verse 44 of that Luke 24 again. Look at verse 44 quickly. Look at verse 44 quickly. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. You see that word there, fulfilled? That word there, fulfilled, means to meet an obligation. Excuse me, let me say that again. Yeah, he says that all things must be fulfilled. That word there, fulfilled, means to get to an end, to get to a conclusion, to meet an obligation. So now, look at it again. And he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, what is all things? Not everything on earth, dear saints. All these things, the death, the burial, the resurrection, must be fulfilled. So those things that were said, they were to meet an obligation. So it means to get to an end. So Jesus is the end of the utterance and prophecies of the prophets. I'll say that one more time. Jesus is the fulfillment of the utterances and the prophecies by the prophets in the Old Testament books. Let me say it a different way. Jesus Christ brings to our consciousness a fulfillment, a done deal of all the prophecies of the prophets in the Old Testament books. Moses, Obadiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they all prophesied. Their prophecy is now fulfilled. We have seen the end of their prophecy. We've seen the fulfillment of their prophecy in the work of Christ. So it means that, so look at it carefully. After Luke 24 resurrection, you have no record of him using anything like symbols. What did he do? Verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture and said unto them. So how did he open their understanding? By saying. So before the death and the resurrection, he tried to open their understanding by using symbols and saying. But they were paying attention to his symbols, not his sayings. Because if they are paying attention to his sayings, Luke 24:45 will not come in at that point. It would have come in most likely in Luke 22. Do you understand what I'm just saying? What did I just say? I just simply said that Jesus in the room picked symbols to explain himself as the fulfillment of the prophecies and the practices. Yet he used symbols and words. However, if they had paid attention to his words more deliberately, the verse 45 of Luke 24 would have come in Luke 22. So, look at it this way. So, Luke 24, rather, verse 45 says, then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scripture and said unto them. Jesus never stopped saying. Look at it. It tells us in verse 44, the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things may be fulfilled, are the same things I'm saying to you right now. Look at it again. Verse 44, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. So the words that Jesus spoke before his death and burial, that is in Luke 22, did not differentiate or was not different from what he was saying after he resurrected. But when the fulfillment now happened, their eyes of understanding were enlightened. Yet, so he opened their understanding by the words he said. That's why you see in Acts 1, 2, verse 3, gives us a detailed narrative that Jesus was teaching for 40 days concerning and pertaining the kingdom of God, concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yet, so you see, go back to Luke 22. So, that means if you read Luke 22 from verse 17, look at verse 17. Luke 22, 17. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and said unto them, take this and divide it amongst yourself. So that's the same way that Christ has given himself in a large proportion for mankind, such that Christ, by the giving of the Spirit, can be divided into 5 billion people at a time. So the dividing amongst yourself with the cup was symbolic for the division that will come. Yes. So look at it this way. Remember, the saint doesn't have partial of God. The saint has the fullness of God. So it will mean that when you say divide, it's actually giving a whole, even though it seems like division. What does that mean? When God divides himself amongst you, myself, and the Christians you have around you. But the division that goes to that is allocated to every believer is the fullness of the Spirit. So in as much as the word division is there, you should pay attention to what division really means. You have to pay attention to what division really means. Hallelujah. You see, a good word for that word divide will actually mean to distribute. So distribute it amongst yourself. What does that mean? It means that upon resurrection, the Spirit is distributed to mankind. However, not everybody, partaker of mankind, will partake of the Spirit. So he told them, particularly in that room, divide it amongst yourself. So you, now that you are a partaker of the Spirit, you are to take a portion, yeah, which is actually the fullness of the Spirit, and go give an unbeliever. Look at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and gave unto them, saying, this is my body. So if we want to indoctrinate Luke 24, verse 45, into Luke 22, a good way to read that will now be, then their understanding was enlightened, or their understanding was opened, or then he opened their understanding. In Luke 24, what did he open the understanding with? His words. The words he said were not different from the words he had been saying from what? Before he was killed. Luke 24, 44 tells you. So, after resurrection, there were no use of symbols. Now, people live in so much unbelief. You know, even after resurrection, a lot of people did not still believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he opened the understanding. So in the real sense, Passover as a feast supposed to have ended with Christ's death and resurrection. Why? Because Passover as a feast was symbolic and figurative for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So all symbolic ceremonies that pointed to Christ and his work, yeah, they've now been fulfilled in our Passover. I'll say it again. The death, the burial, yes, and the resurrection is a fulfillment of the symbolic practices of Paschal lamb, unleavened bread, yeast, this and that, and this and this and this and that and that. They all pointed to Christ and his work. So it means that this feast that pointed to him, now that he is the fulfillment of the law, he is the fulfillment of the prophecies, it means that those things we have to do away with them. You know, really, you see, if you take communion, if you take bread and wine, it doesn't make you less a Christian, really. You know? But the state is to know what to put his attention on. You know, so you see, it will be very unfortunate as a saint to know so much about the doctrinal understanding behind communion and how it is really a waste of time, and to be asking questions like, so what if we want to keep doing it? No. You are not among the Jewish guys in Acts. After they got saved, they were still asking, can't we continue doing the works of Moses? No, dear saints. So if you want to continue doing Passover, kindly, as a man, don't wear a cloth that has two different colors. Yeah, as a lady, when you are going through your period, you stay in a room and stay away from people. Don't go to work. Yet, yeah, if you want to obey Moses and what Moses initiated, you have to completely obey it. James 2 tells us, he that offends in one part of the law offends in all. Glory to God. So really, if you want to keep the Passover, yeah, if you want to keep the Feast of Holy Communion, what you call Holy Communion, really, you should as well go to Leviticus and read all the rules, all the obligations. Yeah, how your beard, how it should be trimmed. Your hair, how you should not cut it, or how you should cut it. How a being is not to wear two colors of clothes at a time. Are we together? Dear saints. The laws, if you look at them through the Old Testament, there are over 600 laws. So to keep to one, you should keep to all. That, did I say taking bread and wine is wrong? There is nothing wrong. If it is your bread, it is your wine. But really, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Okay, think about it this way. For those of us that know Abuja, imagine you are going from Metama to Wusetu, yeah, which actually they are neighboring places in Abuja, Metama to Wusetu, right? And imagine what you want to now do is to go and make a U-turn in Gogalada. So if you ask that question, if you ask somebody a question and say, is it wrong for me to go to Gogalada? It is not wrong, but it's foolish. Do you understand what I just said? It is not wrong, but it is foolish. It's a waste of time because you could as well just stroll into Maitama for Maitama. When you know, so what does communion do? It brings to you the remembrance. So instead of you to just teach the gospel as what it is, you are bringing bread and wine. You are equal to that person that goes to Gokalada to make a U-turn. Meanwhile, he's going from Maitama to Wusetu. So much wisdom in that, right? You see? So much wisdom in that. Yeah, full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. The wisdom of not from God, definitely. So if you want to keep the Passover, if you want to make it as a custom, every Sunday in our house, we will break bread and drink wine. There's nothing wrong in that. There's nothing wrong in that. But really, instead of wasting time playing background music, wasting time, wasting money to buy short bread, yeah, why don't you just go and use the money and buy shawarma and eat well? Yeah, take a piece of bread and use it and touch your tongue. Yeah, why don't you just go and use money? So if you want to bring to the remembrance of your mind, go and teach the epistles. In fact, it's better for a saint to read Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians than to waste his time breaking bread and putting wine inside small cups. It's a waste of time. Can one get healed from communion? Yes, we have gotten terminal diseases healed from communion. I have ministered communion personally and got people healed. But that it is working doesn't mean it is what should be done. Glory to God. So those things have been fulfilled in Christ. He is the fulfiller. He is the fulfillment of the utterances and prophecies and activities of the Old Testament. So what is superior? Teaching. That's why when you see upon resurrection, what did Jesus do? He only taught. Jesus didn't use any element again. Why? Because you are not kids again. Bread and wine should not remind you of the work of redemption. We are to herald the work of redemption by preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what did Jesus do upon resurrection? Look at Acts. Let's end in Acts 1. So, the time you will use in breaking wine and breaking bread, really, don't waste that time. The time you will use in taking somebody to River Jabin Lake to do baptism, indoctrinate that person yet more into the work of ministry. Teach him more things so that he can know how he needs to fulfill the work of ministry. Glory to God. Whew. Look at Acts 1. Look at Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. What was he doing? Speaking, that is, teaching of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. What's kingdom of God? The resurrection. Hallelujah. So what was Jesus doing for 40 days? There was no single use of elements. There was no cup. Yeah, there was no bread. There was none of that for 40 days. What did he use to make them understand? He used his words to make them understand. So they're saying, do you want to understand God's work? Look for the word. Look for the word as written in scriptures. Stick with the word. Stick with the word. You see the thing? Yeah. So, if you see someone around you that is sick, you can take bread, break it, but just know that is not, Jesus didn't send you that. God can never send you that, and that is not the body of our Lord and Savior. That is bread. The same way you can take bread to heal somebody, the same way you can use shawarma to heal someone. Yeah. So you know that meal called shawarma. Yeah. Shawarma. You can use shawarma. Yeah. So look at it. You know, You can buy a big size shawarma with double sausage inside, well seasoned with cheese, yeah, and give to a sick person and he'll be healed. One thing will heal him, either the size of the meal or the power of God in the meal. Yeah, so it's either the size, he might have been hungry. Yeah, the size of the meal might satisfy his hunger, but he is healed, clearly. But do not spiritualize shawarma. Hello? Do not spiritualize shawarma. Yeah, the same way you take shawarma and divide it into two for sick people. Yeah, really, you can take tom-tom and even use your teeth to divide it for somebody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, a very interesting way to get kids healed. You know, you can just speak over tom-tom, divide tom-tom into small bits, put it in their mouth, let them lick it. Yeah, even if they don't have teeth. Yeah, that you can communicate the power of God the way you choose to. But do not make a doctrine around it. Do not make a doctrine around it. Do not make a doctrine around it. You know, in our day and time, Pentecostals, we can be very interesting people. Yeah, God said I should. God said, as long as we remain on earth, you know, we must always take communion as often as you do it. How can Jesus tell you to be taking bread and wine often to remember his work? It doesn't add up. Dear saints, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this evening. I trust and hope you've learned one or two things. Keep up. Remember I said in our last teaching, try as much as possible to pay deliberate attention to these teachings going forward. Pay deliberate attention to these teachings going forward, because we will say some things that might play with our minds and play with our emotions, but we are people who have decided to stick with the truth of God's word. You know, so until I come your way again on Sunday morning by 10 a.m., Jesus remains glorified. Jesus is Lord. Stay joyful, stay prayerful, stay joyful, stay prayerful. I love you all.